All right, so I think there's a few points that are worth making, and as opposed to calling them pearls, I'm going to think of them or call them pet peeves. So these are my critical care pet peeves. I think I've got a handful of them come out, so this is the first one. The first one is, but we don't need to give him blood. The hemoglobin is 110, whatever that number is. So this is a syndrome that happens when I've been called to help resuscitate acute hemorrhagic shock in the OR or in the recovery room or in the ED or sometimes in the ICU. And someone tells me when I ordered a couple of units of blood stat that I don't need to give it because the hemoglobin is okay. So there's a few issues with that. I'm going to illustrate it really simply this way. If we take someone and introduce a couple of large bore catheters in their femoral arteries and exsanguinate them over a span of 5 to 10 minutes, what is the hemoglobin of the very last drop of blood that leaves the body? Let's say they started off with a hemoglobin of 150. That's the start point. Now, over the 5-10 minutes, we exsanguinate them completely. What is the hemoglobin? Now, I'm going to let a few seconds pass by, so those who are not completely familiar with this concept can think a little bit. All right, answers are in everyone's heads. The hemoglobin is essentially 150. Maybe it's 149 or 148 due to variation. Maybe even 145. Whatever. It's unchanged. For the hemoglobin to drop, there has to be a repletion of some of that lost volume by a non-hemoglobin containing solution, which could be anything. Now, if you've got a bleeding patient and you're giving them a ton of crystalloids, fine, their hemoglobin will drop. If they're bleeding, you know, a little more slowly and they're, you know, they have time to do some redistribution of their body water in order to replete their intravascular volume, that's when the hemoglobin will drop. But the use of hemoglobin in acute hemorrhage is almost useless. You don't, because there's no way from that you get an idea of their blood volume. So a very normal hemoglobin on 2 liters of circulating blood volume doesn't tell you anything. It just tells you that they haven't gotten fluids, or they've been bleeding too fast and a time frame hasn't allowed for them to resorb fluid from their extravascular space into their intravascular space. So it's a really important notion that if you're dealing with a bleeding patient, that when you look at that hemoglobin result, in your mind you've formulated, you know, a picture of the bleeding. Is this a bleeding that's happening really fast or intermediately fast? Am I giving fluids? Have I given blood, plasma, albumin, anything to dilute? So that's one of my pet peeves, when the use of a hemoglobin value in an acutely bleeding patient. So for those for whom this is a new concept, there may be a couple of jaws that have dropped, but I'm not kidding. I must have seen this at least 40 or 50 times in my near 20-year time spent in critical care, and from all levels of physicians, I don't think there was a single medical student in there, to be honest. There might have been a couple of residents, but the vast majority of these physicians to whom I was interacting at the time when we were resuscitating were physicians whose credentials did include an element of acute care, whether anesthesia, emergency, internal medicine, anything along those lines. Even people like you know, maybe some gastroenterologists who are theoretically exposed to bleeding patients and rapidly bleeding patients. So I think it's an important concept to keep in mind, a construct. And I think it's also important to teach it to your juniors, to your residents and students. If it's something that is really familiar to you, don't assume that it's familiar to everyone. So do teach it. Let's get the word out there. In acutely bleeding patients, hemoglobin levels must be taken, not so much with a grain of salt, but with a grain of global history and physiology and understanding, and not just a number on a piece of paper with which to decide to respond to with blood or not. And on the next pet peeve of mine, we'll tackle another topic we're relating to acute hemorrhagic shock. But that's it for the first one. Alrighty, thanks.